coverage of the widening crisis in the Middle East. Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth said to address the media any moment now. Well, it's the first time reports will be hearing from a senior member of the Trump administration about why the military is acting as it is doing right now against Iran. We just heard that a fourth U.S. soldier has died after succumbing to injuries sustained from retaliatory attack from Iran. Civilian casualties in Iran and other Gulf countries are also mounting. There's also sharp disruption to global energy markets as facilities and transport routes are targeted. Benchmark gas futures jumping in Europe amid fears about supply after the Strait of Hormuz traffic slowed to a virtual standstill. While Brent and WTI continue to surge, others are some key energy facilities shut in the region temporarily. Brent trading near 79 per barrel, while WTI at more than $72 per barrel. Benchmark Dutch wholesale gas prices rising by more than 45%. Saudi Arabia shut its biggest oil refinery after a drone strike. The Ras Tanura refinery has a capacity of 550,000 barrels per day. Other facilities temporarily shut include Chevron's giant gas field off Israel and the Ras Laffan complex in Qatar. That's the world's largest LNG plant. Some fields in Iraqi Kurdistan have stopped production. And Kate Fisher joins us live from Washington, D.C. Kate, of course, will be throwing in just a moment when Pete Hegseth speaks. We've just heard in the last half hour an update from U.S. Central Command about another death in the U.S. service in Iran. This soldier succumbing to injuries in the initial strike. What other updates have we had in the last half hour?
Yeah, that's right. Another service member of the U.S. military to lose their life in this military action. Donald Trump saying in a recorded message over the weekend that he extended his gratitude and his condolences to the families of those fallen service members. But he also said that, sadly, this will not be the last, and indeed, he has now just been proved correct. He said this is, you know, what happens in war, and he is expecting to lose more American lives. According to projections made by the Pentagon, who gave that information to the Trump administration before they pressed ahead with this major military operation in Iran. Also this morning, we have the news that three fighter jets were crashed in Kuwait. We understand that's because of Kuwaiti air defences. That's what the US military is saying, that they shot down, it was a friendly fire incident, they shot down these fighter jets mistakenly. The statement from US Central Command says that during active combat... we are just getting news that Pete Hegseth, Defense Secretary, is going to start speaking at the Pentagon here in Washington.
Just finished an update with Admiral Brad Cooper, the CENTCOM commander across the CENTCOM AOR, our leadership and troops, as you would expect, doing a fantastic job. 2 days ago, under the direction and direct orders of President Donald J. Trump, the Department of War launched Operation Epic Fury, the most lethal, most complex, and most precise aerial operation in history. For 47 long years, the expansionist and Islamist regime in Tehran has waged a savage, one-sided war against America. They didn't always declare it openly, except for their constant chants of death to America. They did it through the blood of our people. Car bombs in Beirut, rocket attacks on our ships, murders at our embassies, roadside bombs in Iraq and Afghanistan, funded and armed by Iranian Quds Force and IRGC killers. My generation of veterans carry the names of brothers who never came home, brothers butchered by Iranian-backed roadside bombs and well-armed militias, thousands of our own. We didn't start this war, but under President Trump, we are finishing it. Their war on Americans has become our retribution against their Ayatollah and his death cult. It took the 47th president, a fighter who always puts America first, to finally draw the line after 47 years of Iranian belligerence. He reminded the world, as he has time and time again, being an American means something unbreakable. If you kill Americans, if you threaten Americans anywhere on Earth, we will hunt you down without apology and without hesitation, and we will kill you. President Trump has also been very consistent. Crazy regimes like Iran, hell-bent on prophetic Islamist delusions, cannot have nuclear weapons. It's common sense. Many have said it, but it takes guts to actually enforce it, and our president has guts. Iran's stubborn and self-evident nuclear pursuits, their targeting of global shipping lanes, and their swelling arsenal of ballistic missiles and killer drones are no longer tolerable risks. Iran was building powerful missiles and drones to create a conventional shield for their nuclear blackmail ambitions. Let me say that again. A conventional shield for their nuclear blackmail ambitions. Our bases, our people, our allies, all in their crosshairs. Iran had a conventional gun to our head as they tried to lie their way to a nuclear bomb. It almost worked under Obama and his terrible deal, but not under this president. Turns out the regime who chanted death to America and death to Israel was gifted death from America and death from Israel. This is not a so-called regime change war, but the regime sure did change, and the world is better off for it. Today, in their desperation, the enemy is unmasked. As Iranian missiles and drones rain down indiscriminately on the hotels, airports, apartments, and other civilian targets of their neighbors. Cowardly terrorist tactics from a regime that for decades has trafficked in cowardly terrorist tactics, lies, death, and destruction to this day. The Iranian leadership has built nothing except proxies and missiles and drones and deeply buried nuclear factories and facilities. Peaceful nuclear ambitions do not need to be buried underneath mountains. Last June, Operation Midnight Hammer obliterated their nuclear program to rubble. Afterward, we told them plainly, that's it, now make a deal. They arrogantly refused. We said, rebuild it and we'll stop you again, this time far worse. Well, President Trump, Secretary Rubio, Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, they bent over backwards for real diplomacy, offering pathway after pathway to peace. I watched it. I was there. They tried over and over and over again, earnest attempts at peace. The former regime had every chance to make a peaceful and sensible deal. But Tehran was not negotiating. They were stalling, buying time to reload their missile stockpiles and restart their nuclear ambitions. Their goal, hold us hostage, threatening to strike our forces. Well, President Trump doesn't play those games. And as Secretary Rubio said after the Maduro raid, if you don't know, now you know. President Trump puts America and Americans first. He doesn't hesitate, and neither do our troops. The mission of Operation Epic Fury is laser-focused. Destroy Iranian offensive missiles, destroy Iranian missile production, destroy their navy and other security infrastructure, and they will never have nuclear weapons. We're hitting them surgically, overwhelmingly, and unapologetically. With every passing day, our capabilities get stronger and Iran's get weaker. We set the terms of this war from start to finish. Our ambitions are not utopian. They are realistic, scoped to our interests and the defense of our people and our allies. Speaking of people, we hope the Iranian people take advantage of this incredible opportunity. President Trump has been clear, now is your time. To Iranian security forces, choose wisely. President Trump has also been clear about your fate in either direction. To the media outlets and political left screaming endless wars, stop. This is not Iraq. This is not endless. I was there for both. Our generation knows better, and so does this president. He called the last 20 years of nation-building wars dumb, and he's right. This is the opposite. This operation is a clear, devastating, decisive mission. Destroy the missile threat, destroy the Navy, no nukes. Israel has clear missions as well, for which we are grateful. Capable partners, as we've said since the beginning, capable partners are good partners. Unlike so many of our traditional allies who wring their hands and clutch their pearls, hemming and hawing about the use of force. America, regardless of what so-called international institutions say, is unleashing the most lethal and precise air power campaign in history. B-2s, fighters, drones, missiles, and of course, classified effects. All on our terms, with maximum authorities. No stupid rules of engagement, no nation-building quagmire, no democracy-building exercise, no politically correct wars. We fight to win, and we don't waste time or lives. As the president warned, an effort of this scope will include casualties. War is hell, and always will be. A grateful nation honors the four Americans we have lost thus far and those injured. The absolute best of America. May we prosecute the remainder of this operation in a manner that honors them. No apologies, no hesitation, epic fury for them and the thousands of Americans before them, taken too soon by Iranian radicals. Before I turn it over to General Kane for the operational update, let me speak straight to you, the joint force, our warriors on the front lines. This is your moment. This is the generational turning point America has waited for since 1979 and since the rudderless wars of hubris my generation, our generation, endured. Don't listen to the noise. Just stay focused. Our commander-in-chief is steady at the wheel. We face a determined enemy, but you are better. But we must prove it every single day. History doesn't care if we're tired, if we're scared, or if the fight feels big. It demands warriors who rise anyway. Peace through strength, the warrior ethos, lethality, unity of purpose, those are not slogans. They're the beating heart of what it means to wear the uniform, that uniform. You think clearly under fire. You act decisively in chaos. You uphold the Constitution, and you uphold our country without hesitation. We are not defenders anymore. We are warriors, trained to kill the enemy and break their will. History is watching. Be the force you swore an oath to be, focused, disciplined, lethal, and unbreakable. We will finish this on America first conditions of President Trump's choosing. Nobody else's, as it should be. And know this above all, President Trump and I have your back, always. Through fire, through criticism, through fake news, through everything, we unleash you because you are the best, most powerful, most lethal fighting force the world has ever seen. May Almighty God watch over you and his providential arms of protection extend over you. Godspeed, warriors, and keep going. General Kane, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and good morning, everyone. The purpose of my portion of the briefing today is to update you and the American people on the actions taken thus far. The briefing will discuss the preparation, the planning, setting the force, the early operations, and how we're assessing the progress thus far. So let's get started. On Saturday, 28 February at 0115 Eastern Standard Time, 9:45 a.m. local Tehran time, on the orders of the President of the United States, U.S. Central Command, under the command of United States Navy Admiral Brad Cooper, commenced Operation Epic Fury. As I said, I'm going to walk you through the initial phases of the operation, But first, I want to express my deep condolences and the condolences of the Joint Force to the Department of War personnel killed and wounded in actions thus far. As the Secretary said, they're heroes and represent the best of our nation has to offer. They're true examples of what selfless service means. Our deepest and heartfelt condolences are with their families, their friends, and their units. We grieve with you, and we will never forget you. Additionally, I stand here before you today grateful for each service member, planner, logistician, operator across our joint force. For our Department of War civilians, our intelligence community teammates, our interagency teammates who continue to stand in harm's way alongside us. I am proud of all of you as you take the fight to the enemy, and we are the best in the world at integrating, period. I want to extend my personal gratitude to the dedicated commanders and senior enlisted leaders and the enlisted members of the Joint Force who are fighting this fight across the CENTCOM AOR. In addition to Admiral Cooper and Fleet Master Chief Compton, I want to highlight a few today. U.S. Army Central Command Commander Lieutenant General Pat Frank, who, along with his team, are fighting the counter-missile and counter-drone fight. United States Navy Central Command Commander Vice Admiral Kurt Renshaw and his team, who are engaged with the Iranian Navy and projecting American naval combat power from the seas. And United States Air Force Central Command Commander Lieutenant General Derek France and his leadership team, who are crushing Iranian targets from the air. I want to highlight the support to the CENTCOM fight from other combatant commands who are directly involved with this effort, to include U.S. SPACECOM, U.S. Cyber.
General Dan Kane, there, Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, outlining the operational details of the U.S. strike, Operation Epic Fury. And speaking before him was Secretary Pete Hegseth. He's a Secretary of Defense in the United States. And Kate Fisher is joining, covering the story for CNA. She joins us again live from Washington, D.C. Kate, we heard from Pete Hegseth before General Dan Kane spoke. Pete Hegseth trying to reassure the American public this is not an endless war. It is not even a so-called regime change war. Did you find that speech convincing? How would you describe Pete Hegseth's speech?
Yeah, it was. That was a very clear message, wasn't it? He made the point that he says this is a new generation in charge now, and that we have learned the mistakes of these previous wars of hubris, was the phrase he used, and that it is a new president who also understands, and that there is no desire for an endless war. He said this would be a clear, devastating, and decisive mission, and that would make it different from, for example, the Iraq war, which he said, you know, he had been part of, and he's learned, and this is not what this military action in Iran is all about. Yes, he said it wasn't about regime change, but that it was good that there would be a change of regime. And as you, and he also, excuse me, called on the Iranian people, as Donald Trump has done in his recorded messages since this military action began. He said this is your time, to the Iranian people, and that they should rise up and try to take control of their country. He said that this wasn't a war that they started. He talked all the way back to 1979, but he said that this was a war that they were going to finish, and that, that President Trump was a president with the guts to go ahead and do it. He said, if you kill Americans, we will hunt you out across the world, and we will kill you without apology. He also talked about how he believed that the Iranians had been unmasked, the enemy had been unmasked, that could be seen in their response to this military action by their kind of attacks on U.S. Allies across the Middle East. You know, he said that was an example that they were a terrorist regime. He also said that, you know, the U.S. had tried every diplomatic avenue that they could. He said he had been there when Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Steve Witkoff, the special envoy for President Trump, had been speaking to the Iranians, and that he believed the diplomatic channels had been exhausted with the Iranians, and that is why that this military operation had to be taken. And he also paid tribute and thanks to those fallen service members, four already in this operation. And he said, you know, as Donald Trump has said, that there will be more. He said, war is hell, but these men or women, we don't know the names of them yet, are the best of America.
Final question before we go, Kate, and you have sort of answered this, but because this is a concern, not just why America is fighting this war, but why now? Did you hear enough justification for the timing of these strikes? Just a second question.
Yeah, there was not a specific that I heard that I felt that for the reason for the timing of this, other than that Donald Trump, the Trump administration, believes it was time to put an end to what they are calling this terrorist regime that they believe was making nuclear weapons. Pete Hegseth saying that the objective, as far as he's, you know, then, and this is one of the clearest things we've had from the Trump administration about what they want to do. He said the mission is laser focused to ensure that there is no nuclear weapon by destroying Iran's missiles, destroying its navy, surgically, overwhelmingly, and unapologetically. We will hit them to ensure that there is no nuclear weapon. The Trump administration arguing that although they and the quote again from Pete Hegseth, obliterated the nuclear stockpiles in strikes last summer with Israel. He said that they had begun to restart and that they were doing it in secret, and that is why this was needed. But as for the timing, it still isn't clear exactly why this moment in 2026 was the one. We do know on a more specific level from reporting here in the US that the CIA intelligence services did have specific intelligence that the Iranian, like, elite ruling members would be meeting at that compound on Saturday morning. And that was specifically why that strike happened, and it began on Saturday morning.
Oh, thanks. Kate Fisher there, covering the story for CNA from Washington, D.C. Pete Hegseth speaking, and Dan Kane, of course, still speaking right now.